The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
I'm good in you, but I tell you, there's some serious hatred being flung towards the vegans. I'm shocked, Howard. Why do we have to hate anyone, guys? The world needs more love. Less hating the vegans.
The Jewish Board of Deputies is going to put out a long statement about it.
Oi, guys, no hating on the vegans. There's enough hate in the world. We need a lot less hate and a lot more love.
Exactly. Just ask Black Coffee. Right. Rolene. Let's just talk about Korban Seder, because we tried to talk to David Effin a little bit about it earlier. Unfortunately, the line was appalling. Jeremy Corbyn, who we love to hate, walks into a Seder, but he chooses one made up by a very strange and motley crew of participants.
Well, before I get to Jeremy Corbyn, I just want to address the black coffee issue. Every time an artist announces that they are going to be touring Israel or visiting Israel, they are faced with a barrage of hate by the BDS and their supporters, and anyone who is so terrified that an artist may come to Israel and actually see that all these accusations are false, that while Israel does have complex issues to deal with, the accusation of apartheid is false. So I really ask you all out there, when artists announce they are coming to Israel, make them feel welcome in Israel. But I tell you, somebody who I think has absolutely taken leave of his senses, Howard, is the UK Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn. As if the recent scandal around anti-Semitism in the Labour Party enough. And last week, I know he made an address about Pesach or Passover to the Jews of Britain. I mean, I don't know who I would believe more, him or the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, but he has decided that he would attend a Seder. But as you said, he attended a Seder with the strangest group indeed. In fact, a fringe group of extreme left wings. They call themselves Judas, Jewdas, and they have said things that are really not within the spirit of what Pesach is about. In fact, one could call this statement, even though they are Jewish and they were conducting a Seder, rampant anti-Semitism. I mean, when you say things like Israel should be wiped off the planet, it's the scourge that should be wiped off the planet, we have a little bit of a problem there, Howard.
Yeah, you just wonder how you even link a Seder to that. I mean, considering that the Jewish people or the Israelites were freed from slavery, and where was their journey taking them exactly? I mean, have they actually stopped to think about that for a moment? You know, and if you don't connect it, and if you don't believe in anything to do with that sort, then why are you bothering to even have a say?
Well, exactly. In fact, the statement that they said, which is the most controversial, was, and I quote from Jeffrey, somebody or the other who's part of Judas, he doesn't sign his surname, which I find very, very ironic. You know, it's like those unsigned messages we get, Israel's a victim, etc., etc. Jeffrey Judas has written here on Twitter, to be fair, Israel is itself a steaming pile of sewage, which needs to be properly disposed of. You know, that sounds to me a lot like the type of language that we heard from the leaders of Iran, that we are a cancer, that we are vermin, that we need to be disposed of. And Jeremy Corbyn, who I don't know if he had a lobotomy, Howard. I really wish there was an answer for this,
One of the questions that I was trying to ask David Effin a little bit earlier, but couldn't quite get to it because of the quality of the line, was, is this naivety in that he says, ooh, it's a cool thing to go to a Seder, that'll show I'm not anti-Semitic, and he just picks the wrong one? Or does he deliberately choose to create controversy? I just don't understand this guy's thinking as a politician, because this certainly can't further his cause in any way.
Well, not at all. And one of the Labour MPs, Wes Streeting, said, you know, what on earth was he thinking? This demonstrates either extraordinarily bad judgment or a deliberate affront to the majority of British Jews, probably both. And it calls into serious question the sincerity of every public statement Jeremy Corbyn has made on anti-Semitism during the past week, just as many of us hoped we had begun to make progress. And Jeremy Corbyn's statement was, thank you, I learnt a lot. You learnt a lot what? Sewage disposal systems. It's really, if indeed it is naivety or in fact stupidity, the man should be ousted from the Labour Party. Somebody with this bad level of judgment is in no position to lead not just the Labour Party, but is the official head of the opposition in the United Kingdom. One really, really worries where the trajectory of this party is going.
Absolutely. Very, very concerning indeed. Anti-Israel hackers target Israeli websites.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be an issue in Israel if we didn't have it taking place on cyber, in the cyber world as well. And websites that were belonging to hospitals, local authorities, the Israeli Opera, the Israel Teachers Union, the IDF Widows and Orphans Organization were among those targeted by hackers known as Dark Coder or the Falcon. And whenever there is some kind of escalation or conflagration, it is to be expected. We do expect, the same as we saw during Mifta Tsuketan Operation Protective Edge, warfare took to cybersecurity as well. So we do know that there are attempts by hackers to hack into major Israeli websites. And what they did was they affected the website, and they displayed an image from the clashes on the Gaza border last Friday, which was accompanied by Arabic music and the message, Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine and Al-Aqsa is a red line. And the websites were taken offline shortly after the attack, and I'm sure the IDF cyber units are working very hard to not only secure the websites and secure other major websites, but to hunt down the hackers as much as they can as well.
Very, very scary indeed. Israel fighting a war on all different fronts. Can we get an update on the rioting situation that took place in Gaza? The ANC, by the way, issued a statement to say Israel should immediately withdraw from Gaza.
Well, I'm very sad to report that the ANC are over a decade late. I don't know where they're getting their news, but I think maybe they should listen to the Israel report on your afternoon with Howard Feldman, Howard, because they seem to be over a decade behind the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. I think they're the only politicians who perhaps don't listen to us. But anyway, so let's can we get an update? What is going on with the
government? Well, so far, I mean, and we know that the riots have been restricted to Gaza. In fact, I was helping to produce coverage of the protests last Friday. And when we cut to Ramallah and Jerusalem, where we thought there'd be two other hotbeds of activity, there were more journalists in Ramallah than protesters. Nobody really was interested. In Jerusalem, it was very, very quiet. Also, being Erev Pesach and Good Friday, but Gaza, where it was all happening, and we do know that those that were responsible for the violence were small pockets of Hamas operatives, and they have been warned by our Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman that if they do get violent, if they do shoot at our soldiers, if they do shoot firebombs, if they do lay explosives, if they do roll burning tires, if they do throw rocks, they will face live fire. And the IDF says that its troops use live fire only against people trying to sabotage the fence or hurt soldiers by rolling burning tires and throwing rocks. And Avigdor Lieberman, in a statement last Friday, actually appealed to people in Gaza to return home and to carry on life as normal. But he has also said that terrorists that we know well, who are active in the armed wing of Hamas and Islamic Jihad, they are not innocent civilians who are part of a civil protest, and they will face the same response from the IDF should they continue with this action. this weekend and moving ahead.
But Ansan says the real apartheid is in Gaza and the West Bank, where no Jews are actually allowed. And Nikki says Corbyn should be relegated to the dustbin of history. Maybe his old man was a dust man. That's from Nikki, indeed. So are they anticipating another issue coming this Friday?
Well, we are anticipating that these protests will continue until May the 14th, where they will, and I hate to use the word, but crescendo or reach a peak, because May the 14th coincides with the date some 70 years ago where the independence of the State of Israel was declared. And if you follow the English calendar or the Roman calendar, the 14th of May is Independence Day. We, of course, follow the lunar calendar, the Jewish calendar, and we'll be marking Yom HaAtzmaut in exactly 2 weeks' time.
Ah, I see. All right. So it won't happen on this on the day that Israel is celebrating Yom HaAtzmaut in Israel.
Well, I think, and this is just my instinct, I think that we will see riots and we will see possible clashes. And I'm sure that security will be extra tight over Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, because it is the 70th birthday and because we have this build-up. But we are anticipating that the build-up, and especially on the 14th of May, some possible exacerbation.
Right. Can we talk for a moment about the Pollywood?
Oh, please, can we? Because I've been waiting all day to figure out the line, and this was the best one I came up with. She's not a doctor; she just plays one on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Sasha Scar also told us about that in her store report, because it is a celebrity who's now become the photo child for a French doctor who's on her way to help.
Well, I'm a huge Grey's Anatomy fan, and I have to say that I wondered what would happen to Dr. Izzy Stevens once she left the show. And here we have it, Howard. She changed nationality and popped up in Gaza as a French doctor helping out Gazans, which is why I say she's not a doctor. She just plays one on TV. But this is not the only incident of Pollywood that we've seen over the years. In fact, last week on Friday, we had another incident of Pollywood where a group of worshippers who were worshipping quite peacefully, all of a sudden one got up and ran towards a group of friends. They kind of huddled together, and then he kind of flailed about as if he had been shot, and then managed to walk off quite happily and in quite good spirits after he had walked past the cameras. But this is nothing unusual. This is something that we've come to expect. But what we do know, and what we do need, rather, is your help out there, everybody. When we have these issues, such as the issue today with Catherine Heigl being portrayed as a French doctor who's in Gaza, I don't know, maybe it's another film role, who knows. When we do have corpses that jump off stretchers and run alongside them, and accusations of people being shot in the back before we have a chance to investigate, please, I call on all of you, our army of advocates out there, get the truth out. You can always find it, you know, either on my page or people like Stand With Us, Honest Reporting. You know, this is our role, which is to expose the truth, and we need your help. So I'm really calling on you and appealing to you out there to help join in making sure that the truth is disseminated.
The difficult thing for me about this is, I'm not even sure that it makes any difference. You know, we see this, we have a good laugh because of the absurdity of it. We call it out. It sort of goes around the internet a little bit. But tomorrow there'll be a new image that is either constructed or acted or just taken from a different war. Can we ever stop this nonsense?
Well, this is why we all have to show up to do something about it. I mean, the issue with Dr. Izzy Stevens, who's now the French doctor in Gaza, is one that we can laugh at. You know, the accusations of training Mossad sharks and accusations from Iran that we stole all the rain, that we sent a hummingbird or some such a creature to steal the rain. You know, those are absurd and we can laugh. But where it becomes a real issue are issues like Mohammed al-Dura, where we only find out after the fact where it seems so authentic that even we ourselves question the truth. That is why before we share information, let's make sure that there have been proper investigations conducted. Because like we saw with Mohammed al-Dura, like we see now with the accusation that the IDF shot somebody in the back, these aren't necessarily accurate descriptions of what has happened. And this is what propagates demonstrations in the street. This is what propagates terror attacks. I mean, we saw just after the Mohammed al-Dura incident, groups like Al-Qaeda propagating terrorist attacks and saying it's in the name of Mohammed al-Dura, who, by the way, subsequently it was found out that he was alive and well. But this is where it becomes very, very dangerous, and we need to expose the hypocrisy and the alternative facts for what they are.
You know, I keep thinking, and while you're talking about this and you're talking about, you know, that perhaps, there was a claim that the IDF shot somebody in the back. You know, if you look at that standard that Israel is holds itself to, and I think it's important that it does, of what's going on in most of Syria. You know, there can be a couple of days where hundreds, close to 500 people are killed. You and I discussed this a few weeks ago, and nobody lifted a finger, nobody stopped to say a word about it, and yet hundreds upon hundreds of people died. And here we're talking about, did Israel shoot somebody in the back or not? And of course they shouldn't, and of course we know that if they did, it's that somebody needs to pay the price for that. But the incredible thing, the double standard or the different way of holding Israel accountable, and there'll be protests throughout the world for this, whereas we don't even know what's going on in Syria and Iran and in parts of Turkey with a dictator as a leader, and nobody seems to bat an eye.
Well, this is why, you know, first of all, on the one hand, we are extremely proud of our democracy and our IDF for conducting these investigations and holding themselves accountable. But when we speak about the three Ds of anti-Semitism, there's the demonization, there's the delegitimization, and then there's this, the double standard that Israel is held to a standard different to any other country. And as you say, we don't know the extent of human rights abuses taking place in Syria or throughout other parts of the Middle East, be they by Western democratic powers, because no army is perfect, or by dictators and totalitarian rulers. But again, we have this unbelievable double standard that we are held to. And on one hand, we can be very, very proud. We go back to our situation in Gaza just 4 years ago, where every single sortie was run past the military advocate general before it was conducted. And I would like to know if the RAF or if the US Marine Corps, if any other army operates to that standard, and I don't think that they do.
Absolutely right. Rolly Marks there. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it. It's about to go 6 o'clock. We're going to play out with an advert. We're going to go to Sasha Starr for the news headlines. We do not have a show tomorrow because it is Erev Chag Pesach again. I'll be back with you on Monday, and I will be back in studio. Have a fantastic one. Have a great weekend. And if you are observing Pesach, have a fantastic one, and make sure every moment of it counts. I'm Howard Feldman. This has been your afternoon with me.